Thank you, Beth. Well, some of those city names, they certainly sound very drunk. Just thinking about when she was mentioning these names, thinking about some of the weirdest names that we have named our cities back home. Now, I know we have a lot of cultures that are represented in our church, and you can at least one city that's like named so weird back home, right? At least one city that nobody else can pronounce, right? And one came to my mind as I was thinking. Now, a lot of Eastern Europeans from my country will understand what city this is, but who names their city Kragujevac? Like, it's the weirdest thing ever. I don't want to repeat it because it's really hard to pronounce, but like, how do they come up with all these cities? And believe it or not, there's actually a city. We're talking about this gentleman in the scripture this morning. There's a city that's named after him because of the influence that he has made through his life. And he was only mentioned in two scriptures. And we'll get to him in a moment. But today, the reason why we read the scriptures from the Acts is because today is Day of Pentecost. For all the Pentecostals in the house, say amen. 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 We got some Pentecostals. I can hear you. Good. Now, how many of you guys have heard of Day of Pentecost? I see your hands. Everybody knows what Day of Pentecost is. Okay. Now, how many of you guys have come from the Pentecostal roots background? Can I see your hands? Good. So there's a couple of us. So I come from a root of a Pentecostal movement. And no, we didn't have people hanging on the ceilings and rolling down the aisles. No, we didn't have. We had a couple of things that happened. They were kind of like, "Ooh, what happened? What just happened here?" But I remember going to multiple times over, going to church. We got to church Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday morning, Sunday night. Sunday night was special because there was a lot of prayer going on, a lot of supplication, a lot of prayer and worship and miracles and people falling, and there was prophecy. And then I would just wake up next morning in my bed. And I'd be like, what just happened? And then it happened over and over again. And we would have these extended services. And sometimes they would get really hype and very emotional. And I remember sometimes I could be in church and I'd be sweating how hot it got. Everybody's worshiping for like 45 minutes. It was so good, wasn't it? Anyhow, good old days. Good old days. Now, we don't have like worship sessions that are like 45 minutes and that type of stuff. We still, as a church, we still have time that we dedicate. We have a impartation nights where we would just come and pray. And then we have, if you want a good Holy Spirit moving service, you come on a Monday night prayer night with our wonderful ladies and you experience a little bit of a Pentecostal spirit on a Monday night. Because it gets rowdy, it gets loud, and it gets nice. Just like Cecilia said last Sunday, wipe the devil off your feet. You want to come in here, wipe the devil off your feet, you come on a Monday night, you get to wipe him off your feet. But I have so many experiences, and I don't want to get into all of them this morning. I'm just going to sort of like have a little bit of a message that I had a few days to prepare for. But I think it's going to be an encouraging message for you to hear this morning because it was a significant day. Day of Pentecost was one of the most significant days in the church history. And that is because the Holy Spirit descended on the apostles and they got new courage and new boldness to go and share and spread the gospel. And along with that, there was a lot of signs and miracles that Jesus has promised to his disciples that will happen. So Jesus said, it's better for me to leave because the Holy Spirit is going to come. And they were so fired up. They went into a room. They locked themselves up and they were crying and praying for hours until the Holy Spirit came down. And then they started speaking in different tongues. And everybody was thinking, are these guys crazy? Are they drinking? And then the gift of the tongues, and I'm not going to get into details, they were able to use that to declare the greatness of God to the nations, and it just went over. And this is why we are the result of that. Today, the church is alive and well and advancing because of that event that's happened so many years ago. And when he said going to all of the world, we are all of the world. I mean, we have a lot of nations represented here, but we are in Canada. Now, this happened way back when in Israel area. So here we are today, and there's many churches all across the world that are living out that promise that the Holy Spirit is going to get poured out, and it's just the church is just going to grow. And that's why we're here today. So I'm going to have a little bit of a Pentecostal message for you this morning, if you're okay with that. I'm going to talk about this anointing and this blessing of God that's for us, there, available to us, that sometimes we just need to reach and have flow through us. Coming from a Christian family and from a good Christian heritage, I'm a product. I like to say I'm just an ordinary man, ordinary guy that is a product of a lot of prayers and a lot of supplication by my parents, by my mother. I mentioned this last worship night. She always says this, and I heard, and even though she had a really difficult life, I heard her pray a lot, and she's been praying the prayer of blessing. And you know the prayer of blessing, bless him, and God's face shine upon you, the prayer of blessing from the Old Testament. And then along with that, she had a couple other things that she prayed for me, and we'll talk about that as well. But all of the moms in the room, you know what it's like to have your child grow in your belly, and you just pray for that child, and you want that child to advance, and you want that child to be special, to be used by God, and all those things. So all those things have been prayed for over me. Even I remember my grandmother from my dad's side, it was, I was her favorite, I don't know why, and I remember coming into her room, and she was praying and reading the Bible, and she was praying, and just all the wonderful things I've learned from him, just being a woman of God as she was. I believe that I am the product of all the prayers that my parents and my grandparents have prayed over my life. And I believe that God's favor and God's blessing is upon my life and my family because of that. And I just want to encourage all of you here this morning, kids are downstairs, but as you're going about your life, that you have the authority of the power, and your prayers matter for your family. And if you don't get to see them in this life, I'm so happy that my parents and my grandparents are seeing it come to pass through my life right now, because they will come to pass. So your prayers have power, and keep praying for your children and your grandchildren, because those are the seeds. And I remember when my mother passed away more than 10 years ago, we found this book. I still have it somewhere in the house, but it was a book of prayers where she wrote special prayers for us, for the children, and she would call them seeds. It was like she was sowing the seeds. That was what she had in her head, like she's sowing the seeds for the future that will come, these trees that will become beautiful. And I am a living testament of many, many prayers over my life. And even though as I was growing up in a church, and I've seen a lot of things, I've always believed and I've always hoped that there's going to be a special anointing upon my life. And I believe that, even though, there was three of us in our household, I was the one who kind of pursued to really sort of like this path of being, going to Bible college and all those things. Because I always believe that there's something that God wants from me. And God sent me something special for me, and I always wanted more. And can I just tell you something? That we serve a God of more. We serve a God of more blessings. And Ephesians 3:20, one of my favorite verses, says this: "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us." It is because of his power that we as Christians can expect more in our life. So we are to make an impact. And the title of my message this morning is simply this: Why Not You? Why not you? Now, why don't you just turn to the person next to you and just say, "Why not you?" Okay. That was okay, I guess. And now the person that you told it to, just reply to them, say, "Why not me? What?" And then you turn to the other person and tell them, "Why not you make an impact?" And say this one more time. Say this too. "Why not you be the one?" There you go. Now you take that, receive that, And let's try to live that out. We're going to live that out. We're going to go through some scripture that encourage you. But why not you be the one who's full of faith when everything is falling apart? Why not you be so bold that when things are just not going according to plan, you stand up and you say, my God is mighty. Why not you pray those bold prayers? Believe in God for more. Seek him more. Why not you? Why does it have to be a pastor or a leader of some sort? Or, you know, why does it have to, why do you have to go to work and you're thinking, well, this guy's a Christian. He's just, you know, I'll just let him kind of get into trouble and whatever. Why not you? Why not you be the one to speak up? Why not you be the one to encourage? Why not you be the one to make an impact for God's kingdom? And Mother's Day, really, last Sunday was special because we had a couple moms here that obviously you could look at their life and you see that they're making an impact in their home with their children, different generations, right? And just like that, we are called to make an impact. Whatever we go, whatever we do, we're called to make an impact. You see, everybody in this world is born just as an ordinary person. But then God comes into the picture, and then we become extraordinary. There's the gifts and talents and abilities and anointing and power of God that comes in our life, and all of a sudden, there's this activation process that happens. It's like you have a lamp that on its own does not produce light, but you plug it in a wall, and all of a sudden there's light, there's power. And because we are born into this world ordinary, we're just ordinary people, and you could probably say about yourself this, I'm just a regular guy, and I also think that I'm just a regular guy that has a favor of God upon his life, that has God's power in my life, evident in my life. And once you start thinking about this, it changes everything. You see, I've seen many times in my life, perspective really is everything. It influences us in such a big way if we just look at the things the way God looks at things, to look at our life the way God looks at our life. You look at yourself, and you can see all the bad things and all the things that you can't do and all the things that you can't accomplish and all the things why you're not as good as them and all these things. But then you look at yourself the way God sees you and all of a sudden everything changes. And you say, wow, God has so much more for me. There's so much power. There's this power of the Holy Spirit that's available to me. And I'm not an ordinary person anymore. I'm extraordinary. And the goal is to really be able to see yourself as God sees you. And how does God see us? God looks at you, and he doesn't see someone who is weak, who has no talents, no abilities, who's just another ordinary person. But God looks at you. He looks at the potential. He looks at the power that he has given you. He looks at the abilities and talents and all the things that he has given you. He said, why not you be the one? Go and make the difference. Make a difference. So we are, this is how God sees us. You are a child of God. That's how he sees you. He sees you as his own child. You belong, that means, which means you belong to him. And then along with that, just like every parent for their children, now we have our own plans for our children, right? We would like our children to make it, to be successful, to be blessed, to prosper. We want our children, we look at our children, we say, we want this for them. Just like that, with the natural eyes, the spiritual eyes, God looks at us and he says, I have a plan for your life and I have a purpose for your life. You see, God is never meant for us, he never meant for us to just live an average life, to be just the average, or maybe just a little bit above the average. He wanted us to live with the blessing. He wanted us to be blessed, to be successful, to be filled with his Spirit. He uniquely created us and gifted us in a special way. And out of 8 billion people on this planet, you have a DNA that nobody else has on this planet. Nobody else looks like you, thinks like you, smells like you, and everything else. Nobody else. Because God has put his print on you, and he's created you in his image. So looking at people and having people that achieve great things for God and people that don't, what's going on? Why do some people achieve great things for God and some don't? I really, truly, honestly believe it's got to do a lot with our own, obviously, spirituality. Everything starts with there. But with negative experiences and pain that we experience in this life, and it can stop us from fulfilling the purpose that God has planned for our life. You see it so many times. People go through a painful situation and they give up on God. They say, if God was good, he wouldn't allow this to happen. But what makes all the difference for those that actually go and accomplish great things for God, it is simply when hard comes, people turn to pray, not to pain. When a hard situation comes, when life happens, people turn to pain or to pray. Who do you turn to? Where do you turn to when you go through a hard situation in life? And as Christians, obviously, we're supposed to turn to God. But a lot of people, unfortunately, in this life, they turn to pain and sorrow, and they dwell in that, and they live in that, and they walk in that, and they complain about that, and that's all they see, and there's like a no way out, and I'm stuck in this, and this is terrible, and they just complain, and just go in circles, and the life just goes by, and they miss out on what God has for them. And this is exactly where the enemy wants us to be. He wants us to focus on the hard things that we have going on in life, on the pain that we're experiencing. He wants us to focus on that, to keep our eyes on that, to focus on that, so that we wouldn't accomplish what God has for us. So the question is, if we want to have an influence, first of all, the question is, do we want to have an influence? If you want to have an influence, if we want to accomplish what God has for us, we need to focus on God. We need to pray to God. And we need to ask God, God, what is it that you want me, or what is it that in this situation that I'm going through you want to reveal to me? I love Pastor Ken's message because his life verse is, God uses all things for good. And I'm sure there's going to be a lot of good that came out of this situation with him. But are we able to actually say that when bad comes, we're focusing on God? So a lot of these things have to really, it has a lot to do with us, and it really matters how we pray, how we position ourselves, what we pray about, and how much faith do we have. What if you actually prayed a faith-filled prayer? Not just any kind of prayer, but actually a prayer of faith. What if you started believing for more? What if you thought about the most impossible thing that can happen in your life and you actually started praying for that to come to pass? What happens often is we put God in a box and we think that God is not able to do certain things because we are not able to do certain things. But God is able to do more, abundantly more, than anything that we can ask or imagine. So I've come to realize this simple truth. It is that your level of your faith, your level of faith will determine your level of effectiveness in this life. It all starts with our faith, our trust in God, and it is according to our faith that it will be to us. When they came to Jesus and they wanted more, they received healing, God, Jesus says, it according to your faith, be healed. It is the faith that will determine how effective we'll be and how much influence we will have in this life. And I am here to say as simply, the responsibility fully stands on us, on you. We need to start looking and treating ourselves as somebody that has infinite potential rather than just an ordinary individual that's just here to live this life. And it's really not until you truly believe and truly have faith in God that you can achieve something, that you will actually achieve something. It's not until the moment when you come, when the apostles, Jesus told them, go and pray for the Spirit to come, until they actually went into the room, locked the door, and started praying to see the promise come to pass. That's when things happen, when we start believing in the Word of God. And that's how faith comes. It is by the Word of God. So we are the only ones that can actually live out our own potential and dreams, the gifts and abilities that God has given us. Nobody else can live it out for us. Nobody else can come here and say, okay, I'm going to live your Christian life for you. I'm going to have faith for you. I'm going to carry you. Yes, we can carry each other in prayer, encourage each other, be hopeful for each other, but nobody can live your Christian life for you. You have to do it for yourself. And it's so important that you get this, 100%. It relies on you. It is your responsibility. So if it's my responsibility, what am I going to do about it? What I'm going to do personally, I'm going to prophesy over my life, and I'm going to believe the Word of God and God's promises for my life. I'm not going to allow life to just happen to me, but I'm going to actually happen to life. Not just going to have happen. Life happens. I'm actually going to do something about this. I'm going to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to do something for this in this life. And I've heard multiple sermons of different people in the Scripture that have actually taken this truth to heart and have actually stepped out in faith, and they did something great for God. And that's why they ended up in the Bible. Now, most of them didn't have it easy, and some of them in the process have given up, but then they came back and they became heroes of faith because they were able to persist and they were able to push through. And there was multiple people, but I'm just going to focus on one ordinary person that had a city named after him because of his faith and because of his simplicity of his life and the way he approached God. He was remembered and he's been talked about for ages, for years and years and years. And this person was not a great leader of nations. He was not wealthy. He was not gifted. The Bible even tells us he didn't have any special gifts and abilities. He wasn't like a king that was like leading people of Israel into the battle. He wasn't even like a Moses that was leading people out of Egypt into the promised land. He was none of these people. He was just a simple man that prayed to God and prophesied over his life. And I love prophecy because coming from Pentecostal roots, now we had people prophesy sometimes every single Sunday. And for those of you that come from those, prophecy is real. God speaks to people. But I remember one prophecy over my life that is still coming true today. And the prophecy was simple. This, I've said this multiple times, but I just want to encourage you in your faith. What prophecy came when I was in my teenage years, when God said through someone that whatever I go, the door will be open. That was the prophecy of my life, and I'm still living it out today. God is opening doors continuously and blessing me in many, many ways. But this guy was not a great king. He was not a great warrior. He was, the Bible tells us, just he was a simple man, and he was an honorable man. Now, if you look for his name, and you try to look for his name in the Scripture, it's going to be a long time until you find it. Well, if you're going through the Bible, it's in 1 Chronicles. But sometimes even I missed it multiple times because it is put in the Scripture in a place where you usually skip. And when I say skip, it is the place where all the names and all the genealogies of people that came after people and after people, right? If you're honest, if you're reading a Scripture, I'm reading the Scriptures, I'm going through my Bible in a year, I have skipped all of these chapters. I just can't pronounce the names. I can't say them. They don't make any sense to me. I'm just going to skip through them. Now, his name was highlighted out of the 600 names in 1 Chronicles. First six chapters, it is all genealogy. This person comes from this person, and this tribe comes from this tribe, and this dad, he's his dad, and he's his son, and he's his dad. And then they mention his name. And then they don't just mention his name. They say a little bit about his life for two verses, and then they continue on. So anything before and after this scripture, I don't encourage you to read because it's a lot of weird names. They will not make any difference for you. But this one name that I want to focus on was named Jabez. Jabez was a guy who was a simple man who prayed to God. He had brothers. He was honorable. And as he prayed to God, his prayer was answered. The end of story. That's all we know about him. Nothing else. Just a simple man. And I'm just going to read this scripture now because there's a lot to unpack. I don't want to keep, we're already, I'm going to try to be quick because we got a few more minutes. But Jabez in 1 Chronicles 4:9-10, just two verses mention him, and I'm going to read this. And he says this about him. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, "I gave birth to him in pain." So his name was Pain. That's what the meaning of the name was. But Jabez cried out to God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain." And God granted his request. The end. Isn't that incredible? Two verses. And this is one of the very few verses in the Bible that you'll find where there is a prayer and there's an immediate answer to prayer. It's like he prayed, boom, it was answered. Game over, done. You can go about your life. Wouldn't that be wonderful that we just pray for something? Just like, poof, just appears in front of us. God, change this person. Poof, this person comes into the room. Hi. Please forgive me. I'm so sorry. I love you. God, please, I need this resolve right now. Boom, you show up at work, and it's like, everybody's like, hey, there's no more drama. Everything is resolved. You missed all the action. Wouldn't that be amazing? Well, it would be amazing, wouldn't it? Some of us sometimes have to pray a little longer, sometimes days and weeks and months and years to see something come to pass. But this simply is an encouragement to Pete, to me, that God hears our prayers. God hears our prayers, and he answers our prayers. So, just to start with this, where he says Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, obviously tells us that he had brothers, and that he was more honorable. That word "more" appears again. It doesn't mean that his brothers were not honorable, but he was just more honorable than his brothers. And I'm assuming when I think of honor, now this could talk about honor for a while. I don't know if you know anyone that's honorable. Do you know any honorable people in your life? Someone that you can say, this person is honorable? When it comes to honor, it's a big topic. We can talk about this for a while. But when it comes to honorable, to me, what I think about is people that have, obviously, they're spiritually sound. That's the first thing that comes to my mind. They are, they have character. And they have integrity that just doesn't compare. They are the people that come, they say they're going to do something, and they do it. Their words align with their actions. Oh, God, I want to be an honorable man. If that's one of the things maybe to put on my tombstone one day, David was an honorable man. Such a privilege to be called an honorable man. And God wants me and you to be like that as well, to be honorable. But why was he honorable? To me, I feel like he was honorable because of the way he prayed and the way he approached God. He was spiritual. He sought the Lord. He honestly sought the Lord. And he didn't allow his name to stand. Because his name was Pain. Now, I don't know why. We don't know why his mother named him Pain. She was probably in a lot of pain when she was giving birth. It's just like all the mothers in a room. We know it's a painful experience. We know that most men will not survive that experience because we can hardly survive a cold. And, you know, when you go through that experience, obviously, she was probably maybe upset. She just named him, "You're Pain." And he became a pain. He became a pain in the rear. He was walking around the house, and everybody's like, you're a pain. You paid, get over here. Imagine how many people picked on him and bullied him. He went to school, and his brothers are like, hey, did you guys meet our brother Payne? There's a rapper named T-Pain. He probably is a pain himself too. But this guy was Pain. He was, and there's another translation for the name Pain. Sorrow, and then suffering, and a grief. That was another name to it as well. And I'm going to tell you something. The meaning of the names in the East, in Israel back in the day, we all know that names meant a lot. And some of them were very prophetic too. So this guy got named Pain. And he had to live with this his whole life, that he was Pain to his mother. Somehow, through her anger, I don't know what it was. She was probably really angry if she named him Pain. I mean, I wouldn't name my child Pain. But she was probably upset and angry. She named him Pain. But he decided to change his destiny. And not live out what was spoken over him. It's amazing somehow when people sometimes project their pain onto other people. And then people have to suffer, go through this life, and suffer because of somebody else's pain. It wasn't even his fault. He didn't even do anything. He was just a baby. But he grew up with that identity that he was pain to his mother. But what I love about this story is that he was able to take that name, that pain, and he was able to turn it into good, into something beautiful. He didn't allow that to define him. He didn't allow that to guide him in this life. He completely ignored it, and he just sought the Lord. He sought the Lord, and he prayed. And what I love about this, another thing that I love about this story is because you see all of these names in the scripture and where God tells Abraham, you're not going to be Abraham anymore. You're going to be Abraham because of this. He renames him, gives him a name that's going to, he's going to live up to his name. And then you've got Isaac as well, who means he laughs because Sarah was laughing, and that was sort of like prophetic as well. But then you got Jacob, Rebecca named Jacob because she named him deceiver. And then later on, we see in the scripture that he lived up to his name as a deceiver because he deceived his brother for the birthright. And we have all of these things that happen in the scripture where people are named different names because there is a calling, there is a purpose, there is something that is to be fulfilled upon their life. And a lot of people, a lot of these great people live it out as God names people. But what I love about this, he wasn't named by God. He was named by his mother. But I feel like there was a spiritual renaming that happened as he approached God sincerely and he saw what God is doing in his life, and he was honorable, and he changed the trajectory of his destiny, and he prophesied over his life all these beautiful things that we just read. My name simply means beloved. And I remember the story again. I lived up to my name. Now, I'm thankful that my mom didn't call me Pain, because it was a painful experience because I came feet first. Those of you, some of you know that story. I just decided to jump out of my feet and be the Pentecostal pastor that I've always wanted to be. I'm just joking. But I think I'm living up to my name, you know, beloved. And if you know, we do like baby dedications here for sometimes, and then we would take the name of some of the person, and then we would have a spiritual meaning to their name. And our hope and our prayer as pastors and the leaders of this church is that those children would live up to their name. That's the whole purpose of it. That they would know what their name means, and they would actually live up to it. Jabez, Pain, did not live up to his what was prophesied over him. He took that label that was put on him. We sometimes have people put labels on us. He took that label, and he turned it into positive. And he prayed, and it's almost like he was never there. He was remembered as a man of prayer, simple man of prayer. So here's four things we're going to go through really quick. The first thing that he said, oh, that you would bless me. We need to pray for God's blessings. He begins his prayer by asking God for his blessing. And I believe in this request, it's not mostly for material things. Because when we think about people being blessed, we think about all the things that they own. That's not the blessing that I believe is here. He prayed that God will bless him, that there would be a divine favor upon his life and all of the aspects of his life. This word blessing is such a heavy word, and it means like empowerment, means there's so much. We could talk about this for days. But there's this weight that comes with the blessing of God. It spills into all of the areas, not just one area, but every single area of your life. So he prayed for God's blessing. And what it shows me here, it reflects a heart that recognizes the true source of all the blessings in life. And the true source of all the blessings that we have in our life come from above, from the Lord. James talks about how every good gift comes from above. The true source for all the blessings in your life that you have and that you're going to have and that you need so much is God himself. It's not people. It's not leaders of this country. It's not your bosses. It's not whoever you think. It is your God that is the source of all the blessings. And God in his nature, he wants to bless his people. From the very beginning of the world, he made Adam and Eve. He said, I bless you. Go and prosper. God wants to bless his children. He wants to bless us. We see it with Abraham, Genesis. I'll make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will bless your children. And we are the product of those blessings today, the spiritual blessing. And then we see so many things where God is just blessing and putting the blessing on his people. And we see how God guided Israel through darkness. There was a blessing that was upon them, God's favor that was upon them. And it's interesting how Jesus said, God bless me. When was the last time you prayed a prayer? God bless me. Bless me, God. Bless me. There's no shortage of blessings with God. What we only have happen is a shortage of asking for a blessing. That's what we have a shortage of. Ask and you shall receive. You ask not, that's why you have not, the Bible tells us. We are to ask daily for God's blessing over us, over our family, over our children and their children and their children in a spiritual sense, the ones that we may never meet. But we are to live like this. We're to pray this. We're to always be reminded that God wants to bless us and he always wants to prosper us. How do I know this? Because I have kids myself and I always want to bless my kids. Always. We have this thing with the little one going around the house. He grabs my cell phone. And he's learned to go to Amazon and type in what he wants, you know, from the toys. And he types it in and he takes a snapshot and he leaves it in my pictures, but then he sometimes sends it to mommy. And then he says, Dad, I want this. And he wants so many things. Lately, he just wants everything. Every single toy that's there, he just wants it. He already has a lot of toys. Yesterday, we asked him, why do you want this? Now he's starting to express himself. You want so many things. What do you want this? And this thing is like for a three-year-old. You're a five-year-old. You're a big boy. And then his response was, I'm not going to eat it. Oh, my goodness. Sometimes God, you know, we ask a blessing for things, and God knows what's good for us. He knows when to bless us. He knows what we need. The second thing that he prayed for was, enlarge my territory. We need to ask God for God's enlargement. Not the enlargement in waste. Thank you, Jesus. Not this enlargement. I'm talking about enlargement in a spiritual sense. I'm talking about enlarging expansion in influence, in opportunities, in responsibilities. See, God wants to expand our borders. He wants us to go beyond what we see in a spiritual sense. He wants us to ask for more. More blessings so that we can be a blessing to those around us. He said, give me more. I want more, God. When we ask for more, what we're actually doing, we're taking the limits off of God. And we're actually believing in a God who is a God of more and God of enlargement and God of impossible. And we're saying, God, I'm not putting you in a box. It's almost like saying, God, here's a blank check. Just to illustrate it in this language. Here's a blank check. You write, you know what I need. Enlarge my territory. In a spiritual sense, the greatest influence that we can have is a spiritual influence. When I look at my family and my parents and my grandparents, the only thing that I remember is their prayers over us and the influence that they have imparted on us as they prayed for us and now this coming to pass. That is the only thing that matters the most in this life, that we make a spiritual influence for the kingdom of God. There's a lot of things. 1 Corinthians 3 talks about how our work is going to be shown before God at the day when we all stand before God. And the quality of each person will be tested. And it talks about how there is a reward to be given. And the reward that's going to be given to people that are following Christ is for the deeds that have made a difference in a spiritual, for the kingdom of God. Those are the deeds that matter the most, and those are the deeds that count. The third thing that he prayed for God's presence. We need to ask for God's presence. He said, let your hand be with me. See, Jabez acknowledges that his dependence is on God's presence and on God's power. He understands that the true success in life comes only through God's hand being with him. It basically is saying, like, God, if your hand is not there, if you're not there with me, it's not worth it. It's like there's no great thing in this life that we can accomplish, spiritually speaking, apart from God and his presence. I love the verse when Moses was going into battle. He was about to go and lead Israel out of Egypt. And he was saying, if your presence doesn't go with me, I don't want to go. We don't want to go anywhere if your presence doesn't go before us. And then he talks about it later on in the verse. He says that if your presence, how are people going to know that we belong to you if your presence is not with us? And then we've seen the events that have happened as Moses was leaving and leading the people. There was no food. There was supernatural provision every day. There was God's hand upon them. There was fire at night. There was during the day, there was a cloud. All these miraculous things happened because God's presence was with them. And it was evident that God was with them. You know, God wants to carry us through every situation, through every circumstance. He wants to hold our hand. And when you walk into a room with God, people will notice. It's not going to be hard for people to understand that God's hand is upon you, upon your life, that God's favor is upon your life. There's so many verses, and I just have to move forward quick because I'm already at 40 minutes. Verses about God's hand in Psalms. God's hand leads, God's hands protect, God's hand heals, God's hand delivers. God's hand is what we need in this life to guide us, to encourage us, to push us. And then even when it gets dark, when we're holding his hand, we know that we're not alone. And even in darkness, when we go through a dark period, there's nothing more beautiful than listening to his voice speak to us, say, everything is going to be okay. I got you. I'm holding you. It's going to be okay. That's our God. That's the God that we serve. When God's hand is with us and holding us, we do not need to be afraid. We don't need to be fearful. He wants to take care of us, so we should ask for him to care for us. And the fourth thing that he asked for is God's protection. As we all stand up this morning, this is what he said: keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. You see, his name, the label that was upon his life was pain, but his prayer said this: keep me from harm so that I'll be from pain, be free from pain. You see, as he sought the Lord, God kept him from harm, and that was the evidence that he wasn't living out the meaning of his name, what was prophesied over his life, but he was living a different kind of life. God delivered him from all kinds of things that were happening at that time. He led him out of that painful situation. He was protecting him and he was guiding him. And it was known in that time that Jabez was a child of God, just because there was a protection of God upon his life. And man, I cannot wait for that day when there is no more sin, no more pain, no more suffering, no more temptation, when we come to meet Father face to face. I cannot wait for that day to happen. But until then, we can pray for the protection. Like Jesus says, when you pray, pray and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That is supposed to be a part of our prayer, that we pray over us so that we don't get into sin, we don't get into temptation, but God delivers us from that, and there is no brokenness, there is no pain, there is no sorrow, because God has protected us from certain situations. He has protected us from sin. He has protected us from things that could have happened to us, but they didn't, because we sought the Lord in his protection. It's interesting. There's just two verses in the Bible is all we know about Jabez. But he might not have had this thought, but he probably, along these lines, thought to himself, why not me? Why not me be the one who's going to change the trajectory of where my family was, where I was? Why not me pray the prayer and believe to God for a blessing, for protection, for guidance? Why not me? Why not me? Why shouldn't I be the one to make the difference? Why do they have to just go through every single name and just forget about this guy, forget about this guy? I'm going to make a difference, he said. And he prayed. He sought the Lord. And there was amazing things that have happened. So, why not you? Let's make it personal this morning. Why not you make it? Why not you do something special and great for God? Why not you be the one go and pray for that person that needs prayer? Why not you go and help someone that's in need? Why not you go into that situation and you speak some hope into the hopeless situation? Why not you, with all the power of the Holy Spirit that God has put in you, be the one that's going to go just pray for someone and let them get healed? Why not you? Let us have faith this morning. Let's believe together. I want to pray for all of us. I want to pray this prayer, and I want to encourage you this week, 1 Chronicles 4, take this prayer, print it out, write it out, whatever, and just start praying it over your life. Make it a part of your prayer time. It's a simple one-verse prayer, but it can make all the difference. Pray for the blessing. Pray for the protection. Pray for the guidance. Pray that God would use you in mighty ways. So, dear Lord Jesus, this morning we come before you and we thank you. We thank you for your presence that's always with us. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that you've given us. We come before you with a humble heart and we seek you, Jesus. We seek your blessing upon our life. Let's just pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, I pray that you would bless me. I pray that you would expand my territory. I pray that you would grant me opportunities to grow and flourish Let your hand be with me. Guide me and protect me. So that I can be an example of your power and your presence in this world. In Jesus' name I pray.